Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everybody vulnerable. It is easier than ever to find personal information about people online. Having your address, your phone number, family members' names just hanging out there online, it's all pretty scary stuff, right? With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. Look, I'm online all the time, and it freaks me out that my info is out there. Take control of your data. Keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me now at a special discount just for you guys. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to join DeleteMe.com/Burt. Use the promo code Burt at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/Burt. Enter the code Burt, B-E-R-T, at checkout.
The Burt Show.
All right, the question in this email here is, should he reveal he used to date men to his current girlfriend? Kristen's got the email.
Burt Show, I could use some advice, and I'd like to remain anonymous if possible. I'm a 25-year-old guy, and I'm in a pretty new relationship. What I need to know is how much of my past does she need to know? So when I was in college, I had two different relationships with guys. I went to a really small school out of state. While there, I was open to lots of situations and was really just trying to find out what was right for me. My open and experimental dating life was not something I tried to keep hidden while I was at school. Everyone pretty much knew who I was dating and that I was keeping an open mind. Fast forward to now. I've been out of college and back in my hometown for a few years. I've been on a few dates since college, all with women, but nothing turned into anything more serious until now. I've been dating this girl for about a month, and we've just decided to make our relationship exclusive. Since it has been, since it has only been a month, we're still learning more and more about each other. While I want her to know and like all of me, I am wondering if it is necessary to let her know about my dating life in college. I know most people my age are pretty accepting of all situations when it comes to things like that. However, I just wonder if she may feel a bit awkward about it when it comes to someone she is currently dating. I'm really not sure what I'm afraid of, and maybe I have nothing to worry about. I just fear that sharing this info might change how she sees me. Mm-hmm. But I also don't want to keep stuff from her. If she were ever to find out down the road, she would think I was trying to keep it from her. So I'd love to know how much detail a person needs to know about your past dating life. Thanks for the help.
All right. So for me, well, why don't you guys go first? Go ahead.
Okay. For me, I want to know your past dating history because I'm kind of in the same boat with Mo, whereas, you know, in anything else in life, you always get a background check when you're making a big commitment. And so I don't think this is anything that you should hide. And I think you've really got to ask yourself why you feel some type of way about it. Like, do you feel shame over this? Like, where is that coming from? Because like you said, most people our age in our 20s are going to be very accepting, but it's definitely not something you want to keep from her. I think it's something that you should be upfront about so that if she is weird about it, then you can know as soon as possible and get out of there.
Yeah, I think you tell her. I'm a fan of being honest. Yeah, I know how I feel about the past, but I hear the majority of people say all of the time that the past doesn't matter. So if the past doesn't matter, then why would you be ashamed of telling people about your past? I mean, and I don't even know why you would want to be with somebody if they wouldn't want to be with you if they knew who you really were. I think you should want somebody to accept you for who you truly are and where you've truly been and what you've truly done. So if you share your past and a person doesn't accept you, then I feel like you're better off anyway, so I don't think you should hide it.
I don't know where I stand on this issue anymore. I used to really feel like, hey, whatever happened in the past was the past, you know, and now your current is your current. First of all, I think it's only been a month since they've been dating, so I don't even think you need to talk about this just yet. When it gets super serious, and if you really consider, like, this is the person that is your person, then I might bring it up. Without getting into too many details, I've sort of been burned over the course of the last couple of months by revealing too much from my past. And I do feel like, because I'm not proud of some of the things that were on my past, and I shared it with somebody I really care about, and now I'm wondering, does that go on my permanent record? Like, no, this has never happened between us, but since you have that in your past, you kind of got a mark against you already. So would you even bring it up or not?
But I mean, even a month in, is it not important how you identify? Like when you're dating somebody? Because I mean, by reading this, I don't want to assume anything, but from reading it, it sounds like he's bisexual. And I think that's important for the person you're dating to know what your preference is and how you identify.
But this was back in the day, right?
But that doesn't matter. That's, if that was back in the day, if he's attracted to men and women and he's dated men, maybe now he identifies as cis, you know what I mean? And that's totally fine. But I would like to know, like,
what is cis, straight?
Yes.
Okay.
I would like to know, like, what, how I think that's important to disclose when you're dating somebody. I think that's important to disclose, like, in the beginning, like if you're pansexual, if you're transgender, if you're cis, if you're bisexual, if you're whatever.
So this takes us in a little different direction, but now I'm curious, right? And I haven't had too much time to think about this, only 10 seconds. So I would love to get Katie's opinion on this. So if he had experiences in college where he was with a dude, right? And he has not since, what's the difference between being bi and experimenting? Like, would you classify him as bi now, even though this happened to him in his past and hasn't happened since?
Well, that's only a question he can answer.
That's true. Exactly what Kristen said. Only he can answer that, because it could have been just him trying to figure out what he likes. Mm-hmm. Like, there was a time where I said that I was bisexual because I was trying to figure out what I actually liked, until I was like, Katie, no, you cannot have a relationship with a man. And then I changed to, I'm just straight lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something he hasn't answered.
I remember Katie and I had this debate on our podcast once, and I saw it differently because, okay, like if you're going to accept that you can experiment and then go back and then identify as straight, right? So now you're straight. That's fine. But you experimented with members of the opposite sex in your past. Then what exactly does that make an actual straight person who's never experimented before? How can that be the same? Like, because I would want to know that, if I'm being honest. That it's, I'm like, I'm not judging you for it, but if you are attracted to men and women, at any point in your past,
yep,
and I'm going to spend the rest of my life with you, I'd like to know that that's a part of who you are.
So why?
Because I think it opens up to different opportunities and circumstances that could possibly and potentially happen in my future that I'd like to be aware of if I'm making a decision to spend my life with you.
So basically what you're saying is the same thing I said. It sort of goes on your permanent record for now, even though it hasn't happened for years and years and years and years, but it's making you feel insecure in a certain way, even though this was in her past.
I don't know if insecure is the word. I just would like to fully understand exactly what I'm getting myself into if I'm marrying you. If I'm not marrying you, it's irrelevant. But if you're the person I'm going to spend my life with, I would like to know what experiences you've had that may actually come up to affect us in the future.
And it wasn't like these were just like he experimented and like made out with a person or whatever. He had like full blown relationships with these men.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that adds another element.
I think that he would want to tell her to figure out what type of woman she is, because I know a lot of women who will immediately not date a guy if they found out that he used to date men. Like, that's a big thing. So, to know if she's his person.
Facts, right. Here's Sarah. Good morning. You're on The Burt Show.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
So, this summer, I had a really weird experience. Basically, I've always been a lesbian. I've always, like, identified as that. And I've always dated girls. And then I went on a trip this summer, and I fell in love with a man. And now we're dating. And the second that we started, like, you know, getting together, I disclosed to him right away.
Uh-huh.
Because I wanted to see if, like, that would weird him out, I guess. Not that, like, I was ashamed of it, but, like, if he was not going to be into it, then or if he wasn't okay with that, then I was going to stop right there. Like, I wasn't going to go further with him, because that's who I am. But I don't think that he needs to, disclose that he's bisexual, because, like, just like we wouldn't disclose, like, if we're straight. Like, we wouldn't say, like, I'm straight, by the way. Like, my past has been straight. So I think it's just really, like, up to him if it's going to bother him that she's weirded out by it, then she should tell him.
I appreciate you calling. So what's final advice here?
Be honest.
Be honest about who you are.
Yeah, I feel like you can't go wrong if you're just honest and upfront about what your past is. And then if they're not the right person for you, then they're going to take that information and run.
It's The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everybody vulnerable. It is easier than ever to find personal information about people online. Having your address, your phone number, family members' names just hanging out there online, it's all pretty scary stuff, right? With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive sensitive information can be exploited. Look, I'm online all the time, and it freaks me out that my info is out there. Take control of your data. Keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special discount just for you guys. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to join DeleteMe.com/Burt. Use the promo code Burt at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/Burt. Enter the code Burt, B-E-R-T, at checkout. All right, so we have this debate quite a bit. When everybody, when you go out on a date, how are you going to split the bill? Is the dude going to take charge? Is the woman going to go, look, no, I'm my own woman. I'm independent. I don't need your cash. So how is it split up?
All right, so the first one I'm going to play for you is a video that went viral of a woman explaining a savage response she has if a man expects to split the bill with her. And then shortly after that, we're going to debate this new dating theory, and that's that a woman shouldn't sleep with a man until he spent $2,000 on them.
Okay. All right. Let's take these one at a time.
Yep, so here's the first one. So this is at Pearl Botts on Instagram, and I saw this on Lad Bible, and she's giving women advice on what they should do if a man expects her to split the bill.
When a man wants to go 50-50 with you on a date, do this. Oh my God, I'm so embarrassed right now. Wait, you wanted to just be friends? I'm so confused. This whole entire time, I thought this was a date. Oh my God. Okay, I'm so sorry. Here's my card.
You watch dude put that money up.
I'm not mad at that. I'm actually not mad at that.
That is really solid.
That's pretty good.
That is. And they even put in the caption, that's chess, not checkers.
Yep.
Not a problem, but I guess this is not a date.
That's beautiful. And it plays on the ego the same way your trick does with the Tesla.
Yes. Oh my God. That's the new Taurus. That's so amazing. I've heard such good things about them. And you can get them for a steal, right? Like, they're super cheap.
I see the T on your car. It's a Taurus, right? Man, Tesla owners would be pissed.
All right. So then I came across this article that there's a new dating technique that has emerged, and it's going viral on social media as well. And it's the $2,000 date rule. Okay, so let me read. Dating expert Jana Hawking says there is a theory going around social media that encourages women to hold off on getting into the bedroom until a man has spent a decent amount of money on them. She actually discovered this theory from a dating podcast, host called Tink. Now, the first reason why this new rule is kind of growing on me, says Jana, is that if a guy is willing to go on enough dates to warrant $2,000 out of pocket, then there's a fair chance the guy is probably properly invested in you. And then she also goes, I mean, if a libido can withstand that many dates, then he's a keeper. That's kind of shallow, but whatever. Then she goes, the second reason I like this rule, and I think most importantly, is spending that amount of time together without getting distracted by nakedness might actually help us get all those icks out of the way nice and early. Now, she admitted she wasn't on board with the concept at first because $2,000 is a lot of money to spend on someone. But she's coming around to it because the sum of money would definitely give you enough time to work out whether this person was worth going all the way in. Now, she goes, this doesn't apply to people who are very wealthy because they could drop $2,000 at the drop of a hat.
He's taking you to Chili's going, check, I'm going to tip you. Here's $2,000.
But yeah, so it's the $2,000 rule. Don't sleep with him until he spent $2,000 on you.
I like that they're like, this isn't for the really rich. I'm like, if you can spend $2,000 on dates, you're rich. That is literally like 40 dates at Chili's at $50 a pop.
There's so much offensive about this. I would think, Cassie, you'd be running with this. First of all, it's assuming that men have more value, that women are just there to not be physical also, right? Where women have needs also. Why do they have to wait for $2,000, right?
It turns everything into a monetary transaction.
Yeah, right?
And it places, like, the man has to spend everything. There's no equality in the relationship. It's using men. Mm-hmm. So you spend $1,000 and you decide it doesn't work out and y'all have just... But it's just so dumb. Like, that's not what relationships are about. There's no monetary value. And it's the same way if they had come to the table and said, guys, if she hasn't put out by the third date, well, then she's not interested in you. I'd be equally as mad. Like, it's just stop trying to place these stupid parameters on dates.
Yeah, $2,000 means completely different things to different people. Even if you're not like exorbitantly wealthy, it's easier for a guy making six figs to drop $2,000 in a month. And then, you know, you're getting laid in 4 weeks. Whereas if somebody's still like in the entry level parts of their job, like $2,000 is a very significant amount of money. So you're like waiting like 6-7 months. And it just seems like a very dumb rule that I also don't even know how you would keep track. Like, you just asking for receipts at the end of every day? Right. Like, hang on, I gotta tally this up in my notes app.
Could you imagine, Abby, you go on a few dates with a guy, and then he breaks out a spreadsheet, and he's like, Abby, we've met the 2K mark, now it's time to put out.
Yep.
If he's a freak in the Excel sheets.
The idea of her being at the table saying you're about $35 away would be hilarious. And watch how quickly he spends that $35.
Tiramisu, please.
Yeah, I mean, I hate everything about this. It's just so superficial, and it's also suggesting that dudes just are in this for the physical part. Like, here it is. Here's the prize, but you got to get $2,000 for it.
Well, you guys have said, to be fair, that that is very important. Like, you said you wouldn't want to date somebody who doesn't, like, who wants to withhold themselves for marriage.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
So right, it's obviously important.
The majority of the men are pretty much in it for that.
Yeah, it looks like,
I mean,
like,
I hate to say it. But
yeah, let's keep
not
it.
Not all, not all, but a lot.
The Burt Show.
All right, let's get Lacey on here because Lacey is wondering, hey, I got a dog. This new dude I'm seeing hates pets. Is there a way around this? What should I do? Ditch or date him?
She wants to know, should she ditch a date? Make a move or wait? Should she keep him or dump him? She wants to know if she should banish him or be smashing him, bury his bones or jump him.
Yeah, I don't know how you get around this one. Hey, Lacey, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
All right, so ditch or date, what do we got?
Well, yeah, my boyfriend, you know, it's like I have a dog and he doesn't love dogs.
Ditch!
He doesn't actually love
dogs. Did you just call her the B word?
No, sorry. It was just finding out a person doesn't like dogs, you just have to immediately ditch.
It's not even just dogs. It's like he doesn't like animals in the home. Cat, hamster,
Ditch!
Like,
yeah.
He's an animal.
How's he feel about pigs and raccoons?
And we're moving in together next week, so I'm like, it's on my head a lot. And I'm like, you know, I told him, you know, give me a month and I'll see if I can find this dog and go home. But in reality, I'm not getting rid of my dog. I was just thinking, like, he doesn't know what it's like to live with a dog. So, you know, I got to, like, ease him into the experience because I think he, I don't know, whatever reason, he's apprehensive.
Wait.
Yeah, that went by very fast.
So you guys are moving in together, and you told him you were going to rehome your dog.
Yeah.
No.
Lacey. And you have no intention of doing so, correct?
Oh, and you say it doesn't sound as good.
Well, because it isn't.
Now, is this, I've had to do the same thing, but it was for allergies and my ex. Is this just because they don't like dogs?
Yeah, I just think it makes the house dirty and it makes everything, you know, a different environment. But again, like, I'm clean with my dogs. I wash my sheets often. I do everything right. Like, I think some dog owners are pretty sloppy, so I think he's just, like, traumatized. But, you know, I want to give him the chance to be like, cool, like, that's not our home.
So what you're hoping here is that he's going to move in, you're not going to get rid of the dog, and he's just going to magically fall in love with said dog, and then it's not going to be an issue.
Yeah, and I think a month might be a good amount of time for that, okay. No?
How long have y'all been together?
Like, I want to say we've been dating for, like, 6 months. But together,
what? This guy. Bye, dude. Bye. Get out.
No way.
No way.
The fact that he's even he's like not even fighting back on you getting rid of your dog for him to move in, for me, would be more than enough red flag. You got to go.
Dude's
got
a man up.
Yes.
No, but she was willingly doing it. I believe it or not, I can't believe I'm going to stick up for this dude. You know, that's his preference. He's not an animal person. Would I date somebody who's not an animal person? No, because I love dogs way too much. So, you know, that's who he is. She knew who he was. She's been stringing him along, and now she's promised to move in with him and get rid of her dog.
No.
Like,
no. Okay, Kristen, where is your sense of romance? Where is your sense of romance? If I am in love with somebody and they have a dog, and we're about to start our new life together, I am sucking it up and becoming a pet person for my significant other.
So why does he have to change himself to be with her?
Maybe he doesn't know what he likes. Like, to be fair, I wasn't a cat person, believe it or not. It's how times have changed.
Your Insta story would tell differently.
My Instagram story would tell differently. But my mom one day was like, you're going to be living alone. I think it's best if you get some kind of animal. I was like, I can't take care of a dog. I can't even take care of myself. So she was like, you should get a cat. And lo and behold, I love that dang cat, and I'm so happy that I have it. So maybe she's right. Maybe he doesn't know what he wants.
When I first met the girl that I'm dating now, she has a very small dog, a poodle, and I wasn't the biggest fan. She's biting at my ankles everywhere I go. She's sitting on my neck when I sit on the couch. But I knew how much she loved her dog. So now I love that dog because you love that dog. And that dog has become one of my best friends. That's the way it's supposed to go.
My dude, right there.
And I love that. And that's amazing. But Lacey has been, she's known this guy for a year. She's been dating him for 6 months. He does not like animals, right? And so he has not come around like you. She knows that that is not who he is. She needs to break up with him.
I agree.
We'll give him the option. Like, I'm sorry. How many people have we had on the show saying that, look, my pets are my animals, right? I mean, my pets are my family. Mm-hmm. So if he came in and she had a three-year-old and he said, you know what? I'm just not a kid person. You're going to have to get rid of that kid. We'd be like, are you out of your mind? All right.
Okay, so let's discuss this. Like, I think we even take the ditch or date out of it. Should she tell him before he moves in that she has no intention of getting rid of this dog to give him the heads up?
Absolutely.
100%. I think you need to have the conversation before you move a single thing into that apartment.
Yes.
You got him. You got to tell him.
Yeah. Tell him if he wants you, he's got to be in there with your pet. It is a group deal.
Package deal.
I'll try. I just thought I could ease him into it.
Trying means you won't, but we love you.
Yes, it does. That was a lot of trying.
There is no trying. There is just doing, Yoda. That's what Yoda said.
Facts. Did he?
I think so. Isn't that what he said?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
But he said it in his Yoda way. Doing you do. Trying you try.
Do or do not. There is no try.
There you go.
All right. You got this.
Entertainment. Took the scenic round, that's for damn sure. Thanks, Dr. Google.
The Burt Show.
Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everybody vulnerable. It is easier than ever to find personal information about people online. Having your address, your phone number, family members' names just hanging out there online, it's all pretty scary stuff, right? With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. Look, I'm online all the time, and it freaks me out that my info is out there. Take control of your data. Keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special discount just for you guys. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/Burt. Use the promo code BERT at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/BERT. Enter the code BERT, B-E-R-T, at checkout.
Mo has entered into a new relationship. What happened to the lady?
Well, sometime in life, I think one of the harder things for people to do, especially when you were in a relationship that was really, really good to you and worked really well for a long time, but it just, like a lot of good things in life, it comes to an end. And it doesn't really end well. At some point, you have to pick yourself up and you have to entrust in someone new and you have to start all over. And that's always a struggle. And that has been a struggle for me for a long time now. And I've come in and I've told y'all that there was something going on in my life where I was really struggling to move on, but it needed to happen. Have y'all noticed anything different about me this week?
Oh, I think I know what it is.
Did you get a new barber?
I got a new barber.
Yeah,
you see him? I'm back, buddy.
All right, tell everybody the backstory of what happened with the OG barber, who you are incredibly loyal to.
Yes, because, I mean, listen, in black culture, man, your hair is everything. If to a black man getting a new haircut and having a barber, you don't want to just continue to have to switch barbers all of the time. So when I came to Atlanta, one of the first things that I was concerned with was finding a barber, like immediately. That was so important to me. And I found one, and we had a great relationship. He was coming out to cut my hair, and it sucks because
he did home visits.
Yeah, he did home visits, and I mean, I know with men, like especially like black men, we have short hair. So it's like, what is the big deal? But your barber does learn your hair. Like he learns your hairline. He knows exactly how to fade it. He knows how you like, if you like it rounded or squared in the back. So it's a thing. And you don't have to say anything to him. He comes in, he gets it done. He knows if you like to talk, if what you like to talk about. So we developed a good relationship for 6 years behind this. And I got super comfortable with him. And then one day, after 6 years, he came to me and he upped the price by over 50% of what he was currently charging me. And so I was like, I didn't tell him no at first. I understand inflation. I get it. It just caught me off guard a little bit, but I wasn't mad at him. Your price is your price, and you got every right to ask for what you believe you deserve. But I went and did some shopping around just to see if there were other better options out there. And there were a couple, but I could not find the right person, one, and I just didn't want to just go to anyone and put my hair in anyone's hands and just trust them. So for about maybe 6 months, I was contemplating on, am I going to go to a new barber or am I going to go back to my old barber and just suck it up and say, let's do it. And I was speaking to my friends about it and they were like, I don't like it. I don't like the way it's like, it's okay that he wanted more money, but the way he kind of approached you and made it seem like this is the last cut I'm going to do. And if you don't start paying me this amount, then I'm never coming back. It almost felt like a shakedown. It had that feel of, I know you got it, so pay it, or I'm never coming back.
Well, I know with my salon, my stylist, she will send out an email, right, and let everybody know, hey, heads up, our prices, because color is more expensive, blah, blah, blah. So we are, you know, our prices are changing, and here's the changes. And at the end, it's not like, take it or leave it. You know what I mean? It's right. Like, this is what's happening, and either you can roll with it or you can find somewhere else to do your hair.
And I think even that would have softened the blow a little bit if he just, that was a yearly thing. If every year we're just going up, I understand that. I'm cool with that. But if this been this way for 6 years and this is the way we kind of have it, and I've tipped him very well throughout all of those 6 years, it felt like I thought we had something here. Like maybe we don't have what I thought we had. So I started to shop around and one of my friends was like, man, I'm telling you, I got a really good barber. He has his own shop. He cuts on his own. So you don't have to go in there and deal with a lot of different people. He gets right to it. He's prompt. He's on time. And I think you'll like him. And so I was like, all right, I was so tired of cutting my own hair. I mean, I did well enough to get by, but I had a hat on every day for the last 6 months for a reason. I'm not a professional barber.
I did notice that.
Yeah, that's why. Because it's like, I was eyeing on the left side, that right side get funny. So I was tired of wearing hats, which I never thought would be a thing. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to just do it. I'm going to move on. And I did. I finally went to see him and everything went well. I realized that I was really making a big deal out of this and I shouldn't have. And it was cool. He cut me up. He learned my hair. And I think it's the start of a really beautiful relationship.
Oh, we're so happy for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
What do you get? Do you get somebody a gift when they find a new barber?
I don't know. How should we celebrate this? Because this is a big deal because I still haven't found somebody in Atlanta to do my hair. And it's because I'm afraid to break up with my girl back in Florida because she does such a good job. Technically, I can go see her. So I'm like, how do I make that leap of faith? And it's more expensive here because, you know, cost of living. So we have to do something big.
Can we celebrate? We have to, because I'm my confidence is back.
The Burt Show.
Don't ever open a door for a woman. Never. Never. Is what Shaq says. Okay? He doesn't say that?
Not a door. Just open up, period.
Period.
What do you mean open up?
Never period? Open up, like be vulnerable. Oh, and
I thought he was talking about
emotions.
I thought he was talking about a door.
No, we're going way deeper here.
Never, never open up emotionally to a woman is what he's saying?
Yeah.
Oh, now we're really getting...
Oh,
all right.
That's sad.
This is going to take longer than I thought.
Yeah.
This is Shaq on his podcast right here.
Open up to a woman?
Yeah.
Never. No. Never.
When's the last time you think you've opened up to a woman?
We don't.
In your whole life?
Bro. I'm telling you.
Man, got players like I could, me and him related.
Yeah.
It's our first time meeting,
but I can tell you guys, there's some connection here.
Oh, no.
If they're going to tell you, you can.
Because you know why?
But it's a trap.
Because you know why?
I'm trapped. No. Like a mother.
I'm going to tell you why. Because once you do, whenever something go down, they're going to throw it back in your face.
Well, that's why.
That's why. So you can't ever.
That's why you cry, because your dad left.
Yeah.
So Shaq's single. So it's not a door. It's the door to your heart.
Yes, there you go.
Okay.
There you go.
Never open up to a woman because if you do, when things go sideways, she will throw it in your face is what he's saying.
That's such a slam at women.
Mm-hmm.
If
it
you
is.
Think about it, like if you're a man and you were like, if you're a man and you're vulnerable about your emotions and you open up and share something, that we're going to throw it back in your face. I'm sure there are some women who will do that, who have done that.
Oh, I've had it done to me.
Yes.
I am sure.
But to say that you should be, let that one instance tarnish whatever relationship you have in the future by opening up to somebody. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how you forge a deeper connection.
I think there is like a mutual emotional contract that has to be made, because I know where he's coming from here, and it hurts when it's thrown back in your face. Like if I'm telling like my emotional scars from my childhood about my mom or my dad, and you get into an argument and they throw it back in your face. Oh, you're just like your dad. You remember that one time you told me about blah, 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 blah. That hurts so bad, because I think as a general statement when it comes to dudes, we're very, very guarded. So when we trust you enough with that kind of information, when you throw that back in our face and we close down from that point forward, that's kind of on y'all. But I'm not saying that happens all the time. That's few and far between.
Yeah, I know a lot of guys who feel like Shaq, who they'd opened up once and it was thrown in their face or it was used against them and they just decided to never do it again. Mm-hmm. For a long time, I wouldn't do it. Like, I was very guarded, like you said, and I wouldn't do it at all. But it's like a lot of other things in life. It depends on the woman. And you learn that as you get older. Like, if you open up to a woman that you're not really serious with or you just having a moment with, then, yeah, that's probably not the smartest thing to do. But your wife, a lifelong partner, your mom, your grandmother, your sisters, like, I feel like you definitely have women in your life who you can open up to. You just got to be smart about it.
And this goes both ways, of course.
Yeah, it's not a gender-related thing. No,
well, I feel like this is just such an unfair generalization. And I think men feel that when women are like, you know, like all men are cheaters, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or you can't trust, you know, it's something along those lines. And I just don't. Yeah, I think you're selling yourself and you're selling your relationship short by having that mentality.
To be fair, he may be generalizing because that's the only experience he's had with women, which actually makes me really sad for him. If every relationship you've had with a woman, you've had something emotional and vulnerable thrown back in your face. If every guy cheated on me, of course I'm going to think, well, there's no way some guy could be faithful to me, because your only experience, your only reference point is how someone hurt you.
I also think him being Shaq plays a part of it, because you typically hear about like big celebrities. A lot of the time, if you date women, they're not keeping that to themselves. Like they want somebody to know that they dated Shaq and what Shaq was like.
Right.
So it's probably even harder in a position like this.
So gentlemen, open up your hearts and the door. It's kind of covered under the same umbrella. Open the door for them as well. I should really listen to the whole clip. Okay. Abby, what is different between your adult relationships and your friendships when you are younger?
Yeah, and this is a little obvious. Like, everyone knows once you get out of school and you get out of the routine of seeing your peers on a day-to-day basis, like, your relationships just change because you're not doing life with them. Like, your relationships start to fall in a very different category. So I think this is going to resonate with a lot of people who feel like they don't quite understand why their adult relationships don't feel as deep as the ones that they had in school. So this is from a user called Bianca on TikTok, and she put the perfect words to this that really, really resonated with me.
Be honest with yourself. Have most of your friendships devolved into catch-up friendships? I've never heard anyone talk about this, but it's something that nobody tells you about how your friendships change after college. When you're in school, you spend a lot of time with your friends, whether you're in classes together or you work together or you live together. That's like the beauty of college in a nutshell. Everyone you love is in one convenient 5-block radius. And because you're able to see your friends so much, you're so much more intimately aware about what's going on in their lives and them with yours. So like, every second isn't necessarily precious. A great social night with a friend of yours might just be like watching a movie together or like hanging in silence. As you get to see them so much, coexistence is still a beautiful way to connect. But after you graduate, inevitably your friendships will splinter. Maybe you'll move to a different city from a lot of your friends. You'll take on a job that keeps a lot of your hours busy, so you don't get to talk to people as much. So maintaining those friendships from school is a lot less about coexisting and more about organizing discrete dinners or drinks or FaceTimes or phone calls to catch up. And at first you think you're going to talk to these people a ton, and maybe you can manage that for some of your closest friends, but inevitably you can't handle keeping in touch with so many people on such a regular basis.
Yeah, so I was noticing that in a lot of my friendships. Like, I have friends who live across the country. I still got friends back in Florida. I've got friends who live up in New York. And I realized, I'm like, oh my God, I do this like once a month with them where I'm like, hey, do you have time to call? Do you have time to FaceTime? And we do the whole thing where it's a 3-hour FaceTime conversation where all we're doing is catching up. And then by the time the 3 hours runs out, I realize, oh, now we're on to new material. Like, that was just the last 3 months of your life. And now we're talking about what you did today. And so for me, I realized I even kind of do that with the people that live in this city as well. Like, I realized that I am such like a, I don't know if this is a part of my OCD, but I always need to have something on the calendar. Like, if I'm going to hang out with someone, I need to be like, hey, Friday at 7, let's get drinks. And then that's the plan that I've made. And I've realized I would probably have a lot more deeper and more intimate relationships if I did what I did in college, where you really do life with someone, where if you're going to Target, you would call down the hall and say, hey, does anyone want to go to Target with me? And then while you're roaming the aisles, you're hearing about that hookup they had last night. You're hearing about the things that you wouldn't normally get on like a 3-hour FaceTime phone call when you're just catching up.
Mm-hmm. So, I miss the errand buddies.
The errand buddies, yeah. Where you're just like, oh, what do you need? And do you want to make dinner later this week? It just feels more of like what people say when you need a village in your life, a village of supporters. And so for me, my goal with my friendships now is to be less like, oh, I've got to wait till Friday to go get dinner with someone, and to make plans throughout the week where it's more of like you're doing life. So you feel more of like you have that village around you.
I feel like your circle just becomes smaller also as you get older as well. So you don't have to keep connected with as many people. It just kind of happens organically.
The ones that are supposed to stay, and the ones that fall off.
Right. It's definitely something to like kind of growing up and growing apart from, I guess, people that you were friends with when you were younger, because you become a different person.
I know. But it does feel sad. I'm like, wow, why do I only have 4 friends now? I used to have so many girls.
So if you have kids, I thought this was a really great idea yesterday on Instagram. Using a family code word so your kids can get out of an uncomfortable situation that they don't quite know how to get out of themselves with their friends. Here's the explanation. I had never seen this coming, never used it on my kids.
Let's talk about the importance of a family code word. I had a family code word growing up, and it was one of the smartest things my parents ever did with me. And if you're unfamiliar, a code word is something like pickle that can be incorporated into normal conversation, but has a very strong message. A code word is something that allows your child to save face with their friends. An example of this would be your child's over at a play date. They are asked to spend the night. They don't want to be the one to say no, so they pick up the phone and call you. Hey, Mom, what's going on? By chance, did you grab my pickles at the grocery store today? I'm really craving them. Oh, also, side note, can I sleep over at Ben's house? Now you as the parent know the answer is no. A family code word could also come into play for safety reasons. Say your child's older, they're in high school, they're at a party, and things start to get out of hand. They could either text you this word or slip it into a casual conversation on the phone with you, and you know right then and there that you either need to make a big stink and tell them to get home immediately, or tell them that you're coming to pick them up now. Or your child's younger and somebody other than you or your partner are coming to grab them from school. Make sure that your child knows that they are not to leave with anybody unless they hear the family code word. And it has to be said to them. They are never to be the ones to say it. Once your child hears it, they then know it's safe to go with that person. A code word could also come into play if your child is home with a family member or babysitter and they no longer feel safe. Again, all they would have to do is slip in that code word into a casual conversation and you know something's not right. There are so many benefits to having a family code word, and if you don't currently have one, sit down with your family and come up with one tonight.
So simple, so easy, so obvious. Never thought of it.
No, it's genius. However, kids, if the babysitter won't give you gummy bears, that doesn't mean you need to text Mom the code word.
Pickles, Mom, pickles.
It's an emergency situation.
Uh-huh.
The Bert Show.